views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get Focused Radio with Kate Hennessy helps us refocus when life gets in the way. Her own life experience of substance abuse, a debilitating car accident, child abuse, loss of her own child, cancer at 18, and again at 48, all became catalysts for Kate to help others beat down the doors of defeat and focus on creating a truly amazing life. With the help of some dynamic individuals who've also overcome life's challenges and truly came out stronger, Kate promises to bring listeners an inspiring hour of power filled with humor and insight. Join Kate and her weekly guest as they share their secrets, what almost brought them down, and the inspiring techniques we all need to make our lives epic and spread the juiciness of hope. Now, here's your host, Kate Hennessy.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. I hope you're going to stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience ways to refocus when life gets in the way. Every morning, I'm thrilled to have you here with us on Get Focused Radio because I'm going to try and have some of the most gifted and inspiring speakers and authors sharing tools and techniques to help you create a more fulfilled and happy life. I hope you all learn something and have some fun along the way, and check out our website at www.getfocusedradio.com for more info. Well, I know I'm in Canada today because it's absolutely freezing, but I'm really excited because I have some Canadians on the show today. Some of my people are here, and I'm excited to have them, and I'm sure that they're where they are right now. They're trying to stay as toasty as possible. Now, you know, we've all been through some adversity and ease in life, and we deal with it differently, and sharing how we've dealt with life's lemons is a way of sharing each other's power. By sharing this, it can only empower us as individuals. You are about to meet two very interesting and dynamic men, a father and son team, which is what they've become after a somewhat tumultuous earlier start in their lives. I'm talking about Michael and Jeffrey Eisen. They are the authors of Empowered Youth. It's the heartfelt story of a man and a boy who rose up from an emotional past to come together in a loving, respectful relationship as father and son, and even more so, coach and student. It's the story of a relationship that's been broken apart and put back together, and I am very pleased to have both Jeffrey and Michael here to talk to us about their book, their journey, and what they have to offer you. If you'd like to call in and speak to either Michael, Jeffrey, or myself, call 1-800-930-2819. So I want to welcome you both to the show. How are you? Are you warm?
We're keeping warm, yeah. You're toasty.
You're toasty. I'm glad you're toasty. I'm so glad to have you both on. I really, really enjoyed the book. It's a great story. It's a love story of sorts. And I know that both Michael and Jeffrey's dad. So, Jeffrey, I would really like to start talking with you. And before we really get into the book, I'd like to talk about how it all started, because honestly, Michael wouldn't have a story without you.
I guess that's true.
There's no story.
I guess that's true.
So, and I know that although he perceived you as a being, you know, a parent who had it all figured out, you actually started out middle child. You were born about 1952, started out a middle child. You actually had some self-esteem issues. Take us back to Jeffrey as a young boy.
Jeffrey as a young boy didn't ever really feel that he belonged anywhere. I guess one of the stories that I put in the book is how my first day of kindergarten was not a very pleasant experience. I guess that was the beginning of my gastrointestinal issues because I had a weak stomach that day, and breakfast went up all over the kindergarten floor. As I grew up and became a teenager, I tried to fit in, but I don't think I ever really did fit in. And that sense of not fitting in, that sense of not being good enough, really ate away at me, and actually did eat away at my stomach, and eventually had ulcers. And I eventually went into the family business and pretended that I really had it all together. And, you know, flash forward when I was 50, running a multi-million dollar business, family business, lots of people reporting to me. Outwardly, people would think that I was really together. I was a person that that had great self-confidence, but that wasn't true.
Okay. And now, when you had started all of that, tell us, take us to the back to when you and your wife, Lois, got together, and some of her struggles with you being such a outwardly powerful man and trying to deal with her, you know, trying to raise children, and you really not having too much time to help her.
You're being very kind by calling me a powerful man. I think her words would be a pain in the ass. I did what I learned. I thought that husbands were supposed to provide, fathers were supposed to provide. I was very controlling. That was probably a way of overcoming or overcompensating for that lack of self-esteem. I was very driven. I was a perfectionist. I was a pusher. I didn't have a lot of time for kids. I kind of thought it, you know, being raised by a fairly traditional family, that was the mother's job, and of course that's not the case. And so, I was a good provider, but I was not a good father, and I don't think I was a very good spouse.
Now, mind you, though, I mean, back in the day, and you and I are in about the same era there, that actually was, you know, you beat yourself up a little bit about it, but, you know, that was dad's. We all had roles then, you know. Dad had that functioning, take care of the family role. Moms, for the most part, actually most of them were home looking after the kids. So we all had our own perceived roles, whereas today it's a far more shared thing because most families, both parents are working. So it's a very changed role. But a man back then, that was what you were perceived to do. I mean, you weren't the only one. You must have been, you know,
I realize that. I realize that, Kate. But the thing is that sometimes we really get hung up on our roles and we really play the roles more than really getting in touch with who we truly are. And I guess I can see that now because I'm looking backwards. And I'm looking at my life now as I am far more authentic and genuine and not afraid to admit my weaknesses and enjoy my strengths. Mm-hmm. So I think you're right. I played the role, but I played it extremely unconsciously.
Do you think that if you hadn't gotten ill, you would have ever changed?
I really don't know, but I sure am glad I did.
So tell us when that moment was. Tell us the moment of change for you.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of people talk about sort of those moments of change, mm-hmm. and since I've been on my journey of self-discovery for the last 10 years, I've become more reflective, and I really see signs of it happening. Even in our business, I became more concerned about culture, more concerned about inspiring the staff. I hired human resources people. I realize now that was the beginning of this awakening for me, this time in my life when I realized that there was more than just profits, there was more than accomplishments, there was more than just the big car and the fancy title.
Mm-hmm.
And so although I think it started for me one January. I went on a vacation, and our human resources consultant gave me a book written by another great Canadian, Robin Sharma, The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. That was the point that really sort of started my awakening, but as I reflect, it probably was happening a couple years before that. It was intensified by my illness and my middle son's illness. He had ulcerative colitis and had just gone through an operation to have his entire colon taken out. And, of course, as a parent, that's really gut-wrenching to watch your children go through, physical challenges. And that brought on my Crohn's, and I had a Crohn's attack and had to have part of my intestine taken out. And I'm sure you realize yourself from your personal life, sometimes when you are facing those moments of physical malady, you start to question things in a different way. And I guess you connect to something that's greater than us, mm-hmm. and the light goes on, and the journey begins.
And I love that you said the journey begins, because when I said to you, when was that moment of change, that's a very difficult question, because I don't know that anyone really has a specific moment. It's a kind of ongoing. As I often say, my journey is still ongoing. I still face some demons. And, you know, it's not like, oh, a catharsis. I am now completely light. I'm years ahead of myself. I see everything that was wrong, and I'm going to fix it. It's a continual journey. I'm going to stay with that, Jeffrey, and we're going to take a short break. You are listening to Get Focused Radio with my special guests, Michael and Jeffrey Eisen. And when we come back, I'm going to bring Michael on, the son in this journey, and I want Michael to tell us how he started to correlate all of these things as his dad went on to find more of a spiritual awakening and understanding what was going on with him. Where was Michael at this time? Please stay with us. We will be right back.
You know the bed feels warmer sleeping.
Focused Radio with Kate Hennessy helps us refocus when life gets in the way. Tune in each Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Don't miss this powerful hit show as Kate and her guests inspire you to become beyond amazing, overcome life's challenges, and truly become unstoppable. This hour of power filled with humor and insight will have you screaming yes to your life. For more information about Kate and the show, visit GetFocusedRadio.com.
Are you at a crossroads? Feeling stuck? I'm Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. My gift is helping people who are in transition receive spirit-led guidance about their next steps. I offer private sessions via phone or Skype, intuitive development classes, and much more. Please visit my website, fogcitypsychic.com, to find out how I can help you move out of the fog.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible. To help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks. Powerful, inspiring. They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up, that helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their life.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on Transformation Talk Radio. Don't miss.
Wow!
knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got you.
Woo, I do. I feel good. And I feel really good because you're back on Get Focused Radio with the Eisens. My guests today are Michael and Jeffrey Eisen, who are talking with us about their unique journey as father and son. Before we continue, I want to make sure everyone knows how to contact both of you. So, Jeffrey, can you give us your contact info for the listeners?
Yes. You can find me on my website at www.awakeningtheself.com, awakeningtheself.com. You can reach me by email at jeff@awakeningtheself.com.
Perfect. And, Michael, we're going to talk to you next. Where can our listeners get in touch with you?
You can go to my website at www.youthwellnessnetwork.ca, and you can join me on Facebook, facebook.com/youthwellnessnetwork, and you can follow me on Twitter, Twitter handle @youthwellnet.
Perfect. And what about the book? Where is the book available?
Book is available the majority of places where books are sold, but if you can't find it in your local store, go on Amazon.com.
Perfect. Okay. Hi, Michael. Let's talk. How about you? Okay. Now, you take us back to the Michael who said he was uncomfortable in his own skin. Because, boy, oh, boy, the correlation between father and son, even though dad... you perceive dad as so awesome and put together, he really wasn't, and neither were you.
Certainly not. And to be quite frank, I wasn't the one who perceived my dad to be awesome and put together. I think that's what the rest of the world saw him as. I saw him as a very controlling man.
Controlling,
Yeah, and so I grew up, the joke in the family was that the first 2 years of my life was like the quiet before the storm, and then when I turned two, it was like as if all hell broke loose. And so I was what the self-help books at the time were calling the spirited child, which was essentially the polite way of saying that I didn't listen to anybody and I lived life to the beat of my own drum and I came in questioning everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was born into this family that was very much like, buy the book, here's the box, fit in the box, this is how life is supposed to be lived. My dad was a very much my way or the highway type of guy,
mm-hmm.
and of course that didn't mesh with my spirited ways. So,
was he affectionate? Was he an affectionate dad?
No, he was like an emotional robot. You know, even like getting hugs after work some days felt, you know, like I just wanted more from him. I wanted more emotion, and luckily I was able to get that emotion from my mother. She was really the source of love and nourishment in my childhood, but at the same time, it quite frequently felt like it was conditional. It felt like I needed to be who she wanted me to be. I needed to be who everybody wanted me to be, and there was really no space for me to just be who I wanted to be and figure out who that even was. And so, from the
where
moment
were you in the family dynamics as a child? Do you have brothers?
I was the youngest child.
You're a baby.
Yeah, absolutely. I was the youngest child by 3 and 4 years. And so I always felt like an outsider because my siblings were closer together in age. And, you know, I always felt like an outsider. I always felt like I didn't fit in. And I felt like I had to create the attention that I needed. And most of the time it came off in a negative way.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I was the only kid I know who had a lock on the outside of his door instead of the inside of his door so that they could keep me there.
Really?
When I was, you know, quote unquote, misbehaving.
And now, was that was your teenage years?
No, that was my young years. The lock on the outside of the door was probably, you know, 5 to 10 years old, I would say. And
actually, as soon as he was born, we installed the lock.
We knew what we had.
Not true.
No, it was about 2 years old is when it really kicked in. And so the unfortunate thing for me was that I felt like I was different. I felt like I didn't belong. I felt like completely isolated and alone and misunderstood. I remember crying to myself in my bedroom. Of course, I, you know, was forced to spend a lot of time there,
mm-hmm.
just saying, like, nobody understands me. Why can't they see it my way? Why can't they, you know, put themselves from my perspective? Why does it always have to be their way? And you know, the unfortunate thing is that that wasn't just at home. It carried through in the school, and I was bullied, and I was picked on for the majority of my years in grade school and then all the way up through high school. And I, you know, had absolutely no confidence or self-esteem. I couldn't express myself. I completely silenced my own voice because of the judgment and the fear of what others would think of me because I was just picked on so much. And became very depressed at the young age of grade 11. And the light at the end of the tunnel for me was the belief system that, you know, if you get good grades, if you do well in school, you'll go on to college, you'll get a degree, then you'll be able to get a job and be able to make money and buy all the things that you think are going to bring you happiness and have a partner, settle down, have kids, have a family, raise the kids grow old, then they grow out of the house, and then, you know, you finally retire, and then you can be happy. And it's like, well, that doesn't make any sense to me, but at the time, you know, that was the path that I was told to follow.
Right.
So I tried so hard to get the grades, and I got them in grade 12, but they came at a cost, and, you know, I got a stomach sickness from all the stress and anxiety that I was putting on myself. And
or you're just living your dad's life.
Exactly, 100%, yeah. Except my stomach sickness was undiagnosable. So it wasn't Crohn's or it wasn't colitis. It was something where they said, you know, we don't really know what this is, so we're going to call it IBS. And, you know, you just need to relax.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, telling a teenager who's extremely stressed out and depressed just to relax doesn't really help you. You need the tools. You need the strategies.
Of course.
And so I got into university, went off to university. First year was a wonderful reprieve. I had an ability to start fresh. Nobody knew who I was, had so much fun, was like a social butterfly coming out of my shell. But the challenge was is that, you know, I quote-unquote forgot to study. And I didn't do well academically, and then those belief systems started to surface again. You know, you have to prove your value to this world through your academics. You have to do well in school. So I put an enormous amount of pressure on myself going into second year, work harder than anybody around me, anybody. But the stress gets to me, and the pressure gets to me, and the stomach sickness comes back. And I get into the exams, and I forget a question, and it throws me off, and I have panic attacks, and I blank out, and so now I'm not getting the grades, which was my only ability to raise my self-esteem at this point. My value was determined on the fact that I thought I was smart. And so if I don't get the grades, then what am I worth? And so the stomach sickness comes back, the depression comes back, and one thing after another, life just starts to pile up on me, and I have a breakdown. And
how old were you at this point?
I'm 19 years old, and I'm in my first semester of second year university, and I have a breakdown. And at this point, it's like I have absolutely no idea where to go, where to turn, how to get myself out of this funk, but I know there's this voice inside of me that says this can't be it. This isn't the end of the road for you. This isn't what life is supposed to be about. Everybody kept saying, you know, that university was the best years of your life, and I'm having the worst one. So it's like something's off. Something's got to give. And that is when my dad actually showed up in my life as a completely transformed person.
And what a neat thing to say, that your dad showed up, right? It's as though you both see each other for the first time.
Mm-hmm. It really was. It really was because, you know, quite frankly, we were worst enemies when we were growing up. And eventually he was a guy who, if you didn't do it his way, he just almost, I don't want to use the word give up, but it was almost like he just stopped trying to have a relationship with me because I wasn't doing it the way that he wanted me to do it. And so we weren't really talking much at that point. And so he goes through this massive transformation in his life. And I go home for the holidays. And, you know, we start chatting and we start talking about things. And I start seeing him show up in a different way. And it's the actions that he took in his life that really inspired me. And he felt like a completely different person. And I said, well, you know, if he can do this at 50, I got to be able to do this at 19. And so I decided to put aside the personal differences. I decided to accept the assistance that he was willing to offer. And it was right as he was becoming a life coach that I decided to become one of his first students.
Oh, that's so wonderful. That's pretty amazing, though, that your dad finally figured out coping mechanisms at a time when you needed them.
Yeah, but not for me. I mean,
for himself, yeah.
Exactly, and that's the unique thing is that, you know, it wasn't like my dad saw the challenges that I was going through and was inspired to start, you know, making changes to help me. he didn't even know what I was going through, quite frankly. He was going through his own stuff, made the changes in his own life, and didn't realize at the time how big of a ripple effect it was going to have on me and our family.
Jeffrey, when Michael came home that time, did you recognize how badly he was struggling?
Yeah, as I had began my journey of self-discovery, I became much more aware of all of the struggle and suffering in my family members, in my friends. I really started to realize we were all going through the same stuff, and that was actually what promoted me to become a life coach and start sharing what I had learned with so many people. It was like, it's like I'm not the only one that's struggling, that's suffering, and I got to do what I can to help people. And so it was really natural for me to want to help Michael when I saw him in a struggle. To this day, if I see someone that's in a struggle, it's like I reach out and say, is there anything I can do for you?
It's pretty amazing that the stars aligned at that specific time for the two of you to actually meet again and for you to be able to start to help him get the coping mechanisms that he needed. We are going to have to take another quick break, and we're going to come back. I would really love to talk about the belief tree with you when we get back, now that we are at a point where the two of you have met each other, and the dynamic duo Jeffrey and Michael Eisen will be back with us very shortly to talk a little bit more about their journey. So please stay tuned. We'll be back.
The Ascension Foundation, serving to build an interdimensional community. The Ascended Masters invite you to join them in co-creating this mission. Allow the Masters to lead the way in activating the wisdom of your heart consciousness and raising your vibration. You can communicate with them directly by attending apportation events and classes in mediumship, crystal light energy healing, alchemy, master studies, past life regression, and more. For a schedule of classes, workshops, and special events, visit theascensionfoundation.com. That's theascensionfoundation.com.
Welcome to Sisters Talk Radio. Awaken the feminine power that glows in your heart. There are just certain heart-to-heart conversations you can only have with your sisters. The conversations you crave when you need to reconnect. Mona and Savitri explore our feminine power as they look at headline topics and what women are talking about. Join us on Sisters Talk Radio, Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern. Only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to shift your life 180 degrees and bring more joy, more love, more money, and more happiness to your life? This can be your reality when you love yourself enough to experience our Essence of Gratitude Diamond Combo. Gratitude is on a mission to create a partnership between the hearts of all human beings. Wouldn't it be wonderful to cultivate this state of being every single day and not only on specific occasions? Give yourself or a loved one this priceless gift. Our diamond combo that includes all our creations and transforms your life in health, wealth, creativity, and enriched relationships. Awake the spark of joy and happiness during this holiday season and be part of a viral sharing as we spread the essence of gratitude around the world. Visit our shop for our special holiday offer at explorationgratitude.com.
Get Focused Radio with Kate Hennessy helps us refocus when life gets in the way. Tune in each Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Don't miss this powerful hit show as Kate and her guests inspire you to become beyond amazing, overcome life's challenges, and truly become unstoppable. This hour of power filled with humor and insight will have you screaming yes to your life. For more information about Kate and the show, visit GetFocusedRadio.com.
We are back on Get Focused Radio. I'm your host, Kate Hennessy. I have Jeffrey and Michael Eisen here, authors of Empowered Youth. And we are going to talk about the belief tree. Tell me a little bit about what that means.
Well, I know that beliefs are the foundation of everything that happens in our life. And one of my insights came when I started to realize that all of these thoughts, a lot of them, unfortunately, at the beginning of my journey that weren't very pleasant, the thoughts of fear, the thoughts of not good enough, all of those unpleasant thoughts were coming from an underlying foundation, a belief. And that's why we call it the belief tree, because they're like the roots of a tree. And some of those roots, if you know a tree, are pretty thick and they've been there for a long time. And those are the beliefs that you hear ever since you're a kid, that you've got to work hard to get ahead, life is a struggle, you're not good enough, you got to perform. And then other beliefs are like newer roots, and they just pop up from new experiences that you have in your life. And what we found is that in order to change your life, you had to really begin to examine your beliefs. You had to understand what they were and then decide whether they were serving you, and if they weren't, to change them. And changing those beliefs is a difficult process because it takes a while.
And just to further the analogy, the idea of the tree is that so the roots are your beliefs, and then the roots form thoughts, which become the trunk of the tree. Mm-hmm. And then your thoughts form words, which become the branches of the tree. And then the words become the words become actions, and the actions are the buds of the tree, and then the actions bloom into your experiences. So if you trace back every single one of your life experiences, the root of all creation is your beliefs. And then you have to examine where these beliefs come from and how deeply rooted are they in your life, and are they serving you? And I think one of the biggest things that we do in our society, I think, is a challenge, is that we actually lose our curiosity from the moment that we are kids, and we stop questioning everything. And you know, I think a big part of creating new belief systems and digging up, you know, old ones that aren't serving you anymore, we need to question. We need to become curious. We need to actually ask ourselves, are these beliefs serving us? Are they taking us in the direction that we want to be going in? Are they creating the experiences that we want to be living?
Right.
In our personal journey, what I went through was examining all my beliefs, and in most cases, changed them 180 degrees. And now that my kids have grown up, I have to go back and say, remember all those things I taught you? Well, I'd like you to unlearn it, and I'd like you to think about that again and form your own beliefs. I think that as parents, we're too quick in handing down our beliefs as if they are gospel, as if they are right, as if they are definitive. And I think part of what we try and encourage in the book is that we want to empower the next generation to come up with the beliefs that serve them, not just take the beliefs from the generation before and keep passing them down.
Yeah, and stop the cycle once and for all.
Absolutely, absolutely. Michael, what does this quote from the book mean to you? Taking responsibility means accepting that you have the power to create the life you truly want.
Well, to me, I think the root of empowerment is responsibility, is taking the responsibility for your own life. And so to me, that quote, it's all about understanding that we are the master of our own destiny. We are the creators of our own experiences. And we need to be able to take responsibility of the thoughts that we are thinking, the words that we are speaking, and the actions that we are taking, and how that is ultimately creating our experiences. Mm-hmm. So in order to become empowered, we need to drop the whole victim mentality in the sense that, you know, it's all of our circumstances' fault, or it's all of our parents' fault, or it's all of our siblings' fault, or if it's society's fault, or if it's teacher's fault. We need to take our power back and understand that we are the ones who are in the driver's seats of our own lives, and that responsibility is what creates that power that has already existed within us, and it's what fuels creating a life that you've always truly wanted.
Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that you said about not being a victim, because I think that you can parlay that into any age. A lot of people will feel that life just isn't giving them what they deserve at any age. Or you can become 30, 40, 50, 60 and still be waiting for life to make you happy. It takes a long time to figure out that you have to do that. You have to do the steps. You know, it's just not going to come without some sort of effort on your part. And blaming what's happened in the past only just delays that inevitable time when you could actually be happy.
Mm-hmm. Personal responsibility is a double-edged sword. On one side of the sword is you're all alone and there's nobody to blame for what happens in your life. On the other side of the sword is the fact that you have the power to create whatever you want. And what we have found is that people who are not acting personally responsibly are giving their power away to society. They're giving their power away to life. Mm-hmm. They're saying, okay, it's your fault, life, for me not having what I want. And when you take your power back and you realize that you create it, it is such a tremendously empowering feeling, and you don't beat yourself up for some of the mistakes you've made. I think failure gets a bad rap. I think there's nothing wrong with failure. I think failure is a phenomenal learning opportunity. And so when we become personally responsible, we don't go for the perfection. We simply go for that ownership of our life's experiences.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you've shared a lot, the two of you, about, you know, what it was like for both of you growing up, how you both were ill, how you felt about each other. You're very honest about that, how you felt about some people in your family. Why would you want other people to hear about your story? And, you know, because I know we talked about this in the break, it's very hard to know where the boundaries are sharing a personal journey. And you two really kind of let it all hang out. Why would you want someone to hear about your family story?
Well, I believe, just from the work that I've done, extensive work I've done with youth, is that one of the biggest challenges that young people face is that 90% of them suffer in silence. Mm-hmm. So that suffering in silence, that needs to be put to an end in order for us to actually overcome these obstacles that have, you know, plagued our youth for generations. Mm-hmm. So by us sharing our story, first and foremost, it opens the door for many others to do the same. It opens the door for them to realize that it's okay to share what you're going through, because in all reality, the majority of other people are going through it in some way, shape, or form as well. Okay. When I get up in front of groups of teenagers and young preteens and even kids in elementary, mm-hmm. middle, and high schools, and I'm telling them my story, the best part afterwards is I get them coming up to me and saying, you know, you're telling my story. Mm-hmm. And it's a huge source of inspiration for them, because here's somebody who's been through it and has come out, on top, has come out and learned from the experiences and the challenges and has turned it into a positive. So by sharing our story and by being vulnerable, you know, I think vulnerability is gets a bad rap as well. I think we need to embrace our vulnerability and realize that vulnerability is not our greatest weakness but our greatest strength. And by sharing our vulnerability, we open a door for many others to feel more comfortable, to feel more safe, to feel more trusted, to be able to do the same. And when we all start sharing openly, honestly, and from our hearts, that is when a lot of this drama starts to disintegrate.
Absolutely. And Michael, go ahead, Jeffrey.
You know, one of the things that we've got a lot of feedback on the book is it's really amazing how many people identify with somebody in the book, whether it's my wife, whether it's Michael, whether it's me. We're getting so much feedback saying, oh, it was like that in my family, or my sister went through that. I've been able to patch up my relationship with my mother because of what I saw you guys go through. And that's the most important part. I remember writing the book, my wife kept saying, well, are you sure we're not looking bad, and we don't really want to tell people our stories so that they'll think that we were bad parents? And I said, it's really important for us to share our story so we can inspire other people to start sharing their stories. It's when the dialogue begins that the healing will begin as well.
Absolutely. And you can tell Lois from me that I felt her pain when you wouldn't help her with that baby.
I will deliver the message.
She's my sister. Okay. So now what I want to ask you, though, Michael, is, and Jeffrey, is that, Michael, you said you talk a lot to the youth, and I want to make it very clear, though, although this book is called Empowered Youth, and you emphasize it's capital Y-O-U, small T-H, this book is not just for the youth.
Correct. And this actually is a book for everybody. This is a book for all parents and all children, and in all reality, that's the majority of us on this planet. We were once a child, and we soon will be parents. It's for educators. It's for adults. It's a book about youth, and it's about empowering the next generation, but it's also a book about healing relationships in that parent-child dynamic, in that family dynamic.
When people ask me what the book is about, my short answer is, when you empower yourself, you will be able to empower the people around you. And that's why the title is capital Y-O-U. It is about, and we're trying to inspire people, no matter what age they are, to empower the you, because when you live the empowered you, you will be able to empower other people around you, whether they be youth, whether they be your spouse, no matter who.
But more specifically, we do believe that youth is the key to having major shifts in our society and major systemic change in our society, because the vision is that if we are teaching children and young people and teenagers these tools and strategies and principles at a younger age, they are coming through their lives living from passion, living from purpose. And then they get out and they're actually in a position where they're able to contribute to society, but they're contributing in a much more authentic way. Those are the ones who are the leaders of tomorrow, who go into these different positions in the systems of our society and then start creating major shifts in the systems, and we start seeing major global change as a result of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've got to go sell some more stuff, so we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit more with the Eisens. We're going to share with you some more inspiring words with this dynamic duo. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Focused Radio with Kate Hennessy helps us refocus when life gets in the way. Tune in each Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Don't miss this powerful hit show as Kate and her guests inspire you to become beyond amazing, overcome life's challenges, and truly become unstoppable. This hour of power filled with humor and insight will have you screaming yes to your life. For more information about Kate and the show, visit GetFocusedRadio.com.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible to help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks.
Powerful, inspiring.
They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up, that helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their life.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
That nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on Transformation Talk Radio.
Saskia Roel came to America with five children and one suitcase to follow her dream. She is a soul empowerment coach and best-selling author. Do you want to find your soulmate, the job of your life, or simply thrive? Let Saskia teach you how to turn adversities into adventures and how to live your ideal life. Go to yoursoulguidance.com and enter to win a free session with Saskia. That website again is yoursoulguidance.com.
Awesome. We are back on Get Focused Radio with my special guests, Michael and Jeffrey Eisen, and their book, Empowered Youth. Just before we start to talk a little bit more about a few quotes that you have in the book, I'd like to go over with you. Just give another shout out to your website, Jeffrey, and so that we know where we can get the book and where people can contact you for your great workshops that are coming up.
Excellent. It's www.awakeningtheself.com. There's lots of resources on the website. You can get links to get the book and learn a bit about my life coaching practice.
Perfect. Michael?
www.youthwellnessnetwork.ca to learn more about the programs that I bring into schools and youth organizations across North America, and facebook.com/youthwellnessnetwork to join the community. And Twitter is at Youth Wellnet.
Love it. So, fellas, what makes your book different? What makes your book unique?
Well, I think one of the things that certainly the publisher Hay House, which did a great job, and for those of you that know Hay House, they're an amazing organization. They realized that there are lots of mother and daughter books, but there's not too many father and son books. And the fact that ours is a father and son book, the fact that it is so open, so transparent, as Michael said, we allow ourselves to be vulnerable. And I think the other thing that makes it unique, it is a wonderful blend of our personal story, but lots of learning, teaching, insights. The tagline to the book is a father and son's journey to conscious living. And we make sure and put lots of great hints, and I know we're going to talk in a few minutes about the resources at the back, some practices and techniques, so that everybody could do what Michael and I have done.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's one thing I wanted to touch on in the book, is you do have this really terrific resource kind of workshop area. So when you finish the book, you can go to it, and it's a really neat ending, I thought. Almost a, like I said, a workshop kind of personal journal that people can get so much insight to if you follow along. A really great idea, guys. Michael, what you resist persists.
Indeed it does. To me, there's a natural flow of life. And oftentimes our desire to control and our fear of the unknown actually prevents that flow from going in a natural way. So a lot of times when we're shown things that we resist, it will continue to come back. You know, I was taught at early stages of my journey was that anything that's really bothering me, whether it's about somebody else that I'm seeing, whether it's something about circumstances or scenarios, anything that's bothering me, if I do not learn to accept it and embrace it and shift my perspective on it, it will continue to recycle itself in various different scenarios throughout my life. Mm-hmm. So to me, I have this saying, what resists persists. When we let go, life flows. And we need to let go of the idea that there are many things that we cannot control. The only thing that we can control is our response to them when they show up. So when something shows up in our lives that bothers us, instead of fighting it, instead of pushing against it instead of resisting it. We need to accept and embrace that it is there, understand that it is there to teach us some really valuable lessons, to learn those lessons, to integrate those lessons, to grow from those lessons, to evolve from those lessons. And once we're able to really let go of that, then we start to see the magic that life has. And it's this beautiful flow that exists. It's like picture a current in a river, the current always flowing in one direction. You can choose to swim against the current, which most of the time will absolutely exhaust you, strip most of your energy away, and you'll actually gain very little ground in the process. Or you can turn to let go, swim with the flow that life is directing you in, cover so much more ground, reserve so much more of your energy, and end up getting exactly where you need to be.
Do you think that one of the hardest things, especially for someone who is younger, and especially for you at 19, I think one of the hardest things for youth is to be able to accept the fact that they aren't coping well and to ask for help? How does someone who's young get past the feeling that they're going to lose faith if they have to ask for help? How do we get past that so that they don't fall into such a depth of depression that they just can't get out? You know, what advice can you give them?
Well, firstly, I think the reason why they're not comfortable enough to ask for help is rooted in a lack of self-esteem and self-worth. And I believe that that's the root cause of the majority of the issues that not only youth face in our society, but all human beings face. We don't love, respect, and value ourselves enough. So if there was, first and foremost, we need to teach the tools to build that self-esteem and self-worth and self-love from within ourselves from a younger age. But how do we open the door for the ones who are already at that point where their self-esteem is low and they don't have the courage to be able to speak their voice and ask for help? The most important thing is that we need to make this stuff accessible and relatable. One of the things that I've recognized working with youth is the relatability factor. I'm 27 years old. I go in and I speak to them, no matter whether they're teenagers or young 20s, whatever it is, they see me as somebody that's been through what they've been through. They can get it because I'm still young and it's relatable and it's accessible. If an adult were to go in, they just immediately dismiss it because it's out of their generation and they don't get what's going on within their lives. So the relatability and accessibility is the most important thing to bridge that gap and to open the door for so many young people to share what's going on.
Did the two of you find when you decided to write the book together that, you know, you had to dredge up a lot of old bad feelings? Were you able to get past it? I mean, was there honestly, did you write the book without any bad stuff kind of coming back again? Were you able to get through that? Or did it bring up a little bit of controversy as you were writing the book?
Oh, it definitely brought up a lot of stuff, which is really interesting because it was a healing process for us. It was a healing process for us.
Again.
First of all, when we wrote our stories, we wrote them independently. So even when we came together, we found out things about each other that we didn't know. Mm-hmm. And then trying to weave that all together brought up some real interesting stuff that we had to handle. So it was not a smooth process, but it was definitely a very necessary and healing process.
Oh, what I say, just to add to that, is that it was such a gift to be able to write this book together. Regardless of, you know, what happens with this book and where it goes, just the process of writing this book together allowed us to retool our relationship. Because for years, we were coach and student, and now we're co-teachers and we're co-authors and we're more on the same level. So we need to shift the dynamic in our relationship. And in order to do so, we actually went through some very interesting steps where I became controlling because this was, you know, originally my project that my dad got involved in. And, you know, I wanted it to be done in a certain way. And my dad says it was like karma because I was playing the role of controlling him like he was in my childhood. So, so we got a chance to...
It was payback.
And so we got a chance to really work through that. But really coming out of it all and this whole experience has just been so amazing because I feel like our relationship has been taken to an entirely new level. And I want to end on that point, which is that writing the book together gave us the gift to be able to practice everything that we wrote in that book while we were writing it. Like, it was such an amazing opportunity where we would just be continually working with each other and say, Michael, are you practicing perspective? Jeffrey, are you taking responsibility? We were constantly providing a mirror for one another to really put what it is that we're teaching in this book into action in our own lives in a much further level.
I love that. Thank you so much. We are at the end of the show, and I know we started at the beginning saying that you didn't get very many hugs at the beginning of your life, Michael. I have a feeling that's changed drastically. So
I get hugs all the time.
I want to thank you both for being my guest. Thank you so much, and good luck with the book. I'm sure you're both going to do great.
Thank you for having us on the show. You're a great interviewer.
Thank you. So thanks so much to Michael and Jeffrey Eisen. What a pleasure to have them on. Great show, great story, sharing their experiences with us. I'm sure that they've gained a lot of listeners who can empathize. Empowered Youth, what a great Christmas gift for any age and a great book to share with your family. I'd like to thank you all for tuning in to Get Focused Radio. As always, I've had a wonderful time. Please join me next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern and 7 p.m. Pacific. Next week on Get Focused Radio, I have Dr. Dream, Kelly Sullivan Walden. She's a certified clinical hypnotherapist and author of 7 books, including the Amazon.com number 1 best-selling dream interpretation book, I Had the Strangest Dream, The Dreamer's Dictionary for the 21st Century. Great show, so call in and have your dream figured out. Last night, I dreamt I would have another great show today, and by golly, dreams do come true. Have a great week, and I'll see you back here, same time, same place, with great people and amazing stories. Make sure to have a great day and try to make a difference.
You've been listening to Get Focused Radio with Kate Hennessy. Tune in each Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Don't miss this powerful hit show as Kate and her guests inspire you to become beyond amazing, overcome life's challenges, and truly become unstoppable. This hour of power, filled with humor and insight, will have you screaming yes to your life. Tune in next week as Kate and her guests share their secrets, talk about what almost brought them down, and offer inspiring techniques we all need in order to make our lives epic. For more information about Kate and the show, visit GetFocusedRadio.com and spread the juiciness of hope.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one.
Transformation Talk Radio.
Transformation Talk Radio.
A higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey everybody, we'll see you there.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host at transformationtalkradio.com.